this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we are doing A for accountancy, and I'm delighted to have Andy Milner in with us to tell us all about this profession. Andy spent nigh on 20 years as an accountant in various different roles before actually setting up his own very successful accountancy practice. Andy did go to university, but he says himself that he's taken on a number of people into his own company who didn't. And you can become a qualified accountant a number of ways. One is university and one is via apprenticeships. So there's lots of options. And as Andy will explain to you, the role of an accountant can actually be quite glamorous rather than, you know, the sort of traditional view that we have of, you know, accountants wearing grey suits and number crunching. So Andy, thanks so much for joining us, and let's start by just getting a quick summary from you of your history from school to where you are now. How did you start?
So I grew up in Surrey. I was very lucky to live down, you know, south of London in Green Surrey. Did the usual things at school, did well at school, enjoyed school, had good friends there. Went through that, GCSEs, found them pretty easy. Chose some broad A-levels, still not quite sure what I wanted to do at that point.
But you were quite academic then?
Oh yeah, I found the academic side quite easy. I don't know if that was my aptitude or we had good teachers or a combination of both. But it was, yeah, I went to a good school, just a normal comprehensive school, mm-hmm. not private or anything like that, just a normal school.
And how did you decide what you wanted to do after school?
I didn't really know where I wanted to go. I think it's common for a lot of people, especially when, you know, when you're young, you don't really know where you want to go, what you want to do as a job. So I chose at A-level, I chose maths, physics and geography. They're nice broad subjects, subjects I enjoyed, subjects I was quite good at. But they didn't close off any doors. I wanted to leave as many avenues open as possible. Mm-hmm. Always knew I wanted to go to university.
Did your parents influence you with that?
I think they probably did. My parents, you know, taught me that, you know, to get on in life, you do need to buckle down, work hard. You need to get results. I mean, unfortunately, academia is a results-based business. If you don't have results, it's difficult to go back and change that. So you kind of get one shot at education. And my parents had taught me that, you know, you should get stuck in and get on with it. So, yeah, I always wanted to go to university. Went to Brunel in Uxbridge in West London.
And what was that to study?
That was a maths and management degree.
And at this point, were you any clearer on what you wanted to do?
No, still not really clear. I mean, I think I was pretty clear that I would end up in an office somewhere.
And you did this degree in a sort of a form of apprenticeship, really, didn't you? It was called a sandwich course, you were saying.
Correct, yeah. So it was a four-year degree. But for the first 3 years, you did 6 months at university and 6 months working. So you had to go out and find a job either locally or somewhere near the university and basically work. And the idea is to use all the knowledge that you've got in the previous 6 months. Helps you get a little bit more money as well. So you go back the next year and hopefully you've got a bit of money tucked away.
You basically did the first 3 years where you were 6 months at university, 6 months at work for 3 years, and then the final year was all at university.
Correct,
is that how
yeah.
it worked?
So that's all the way through to the final exams.
Great.
Yeah.
So by the time you finished, it was almost a bit like a degree apprenticeship because you had this work experience and you had your degree.
Yes, yeah, very valuable. And you know, it led to a job. I mean, the second and the third work placement I did with the same firm.
What was that?
It was a mortgage company, a centralised mortgage lender. So they were borrowing money from the banks and lending it to individuals, and making some money off that.
And what sort of jobs were you doing for them?
So I was a management accountant there. So we were running all the monthly reports and keeping track of all the money and making sure that the people that had mortgages had paid their checks in back then.
Okay.
Just keeping track of all the money and making sure the company was making money.
And then you finished your degree and qualified with your degree, but obviously you weren't a qualified accountant at this point, but you went on to qualify as an accountant, didn't you?
Correct, yeah. There's a number of accounting bodies. There's ACCA, which is very much a technical accountant. The one I chose is a CIMA one, which is a chartered management accountant, which is more of a strategic type of qualification. But they're equally rated in the industry.
And how long did it take you to qualify?
That was another 3 years of studying at weekends, going to courses at the weekend, exams outside of work. Pretty tough.
Wow. So you were working full-time and you were studying
Correct.
All over the weekends.
Yep.
And only being relatively young as well, so probably forgo quite
yeah,
a lot of social,
yeah, yeah,
et cetera.
You had to say no to some parties. It was tough. There's no getting around it. It's hard work.
So, I mean, that must have worked out to getting on for 10 years of study. What motivated you to do that?
I think, for me, the main thing, that an accountancy qualification is something that no one can really take away from you. It's something you have, you can always fall back on. And it's also a qualification that just opens up so many doors. You can take it anywhere you like in the world. You know, an English accountancy qualification will be recognised globally. You can take it into an accounting practice where you can go and do work for their whole portfolio of clients. And you can go and work in any industry that you'd like. Every single business, whether it's an internal or external person, every single business needs an accountant.
Mm. And, you know, you were saying that regardless of whether there's a recession or a boom, every company needs an accountant.
Correct, yeah. I mean, whether you have a good year or bad, you still got to add the numbers up. So to a certain extent, it's recession-proof, yeah.
So after qualifying, what did you do then?
When I qualified, I was working for a company called Equifax in Paddington. They were a credit rating agency. And then I had an opportunity to move to Guernsey in the Channel Islands.
Okay.
It's a nice little tax haven where life is very pleasant.
So your sort of prophecy that, you know, it would enable you to sort of be global and to travel actually came true.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And so I spent eight lovely years in Guernsey. I'd met my wife in Guernsey. So it was a very, very happy time.
And who were you working for there?
I worked for a big private bank, Credit Suisse, big Swiss bank, for 4 years. And then I did 4 years in a private equity firm.
And what sorts of clients were you looking after?
In the private equity firm, we're looking after clients from all over Europe, New York, basically global clients, and doing lots and lots of work in kind of London-based areas.
So you were in Guernsey for 8 years, which sounds wonderful.
Yep.
Working for these quite glamorous companies and clients.
It was glamorous. I mean, I got flown over to London from Guernsey for one naming party. It's a party at the top of the Gherkin. They put me up in a £400 a night hotel that I'd spent about 3 hours in, I think, before I had to leave again. So, yeah, it was great.
So, I mean, you know, the traditional view of the life of an accountant, actually, it might be quite a bit more glamorous than one might think.
Definitely. Every single industry, every single geography, wherever you go, there's an accountant required.
Yeah.
And they're not always the ones that are, you know, in the driving seat of the car, but they're generally in the passenger seat along with the driver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can go to some glamorous places.
Fantastic. So you finished in Guernsey, and what happened then?
Well, I came back to London, did a little bit more private equity stuff, and then had an opportunity again to set up my own business, which was something I'd been thinking about more than I hadn't. I had several of my really good friends who had their own businesses.
That's interesting. Because we are very often influenced by our peers, aren't we?
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I think is important to point out here is that you can choose your peers, because whoever you're spending time with is going to influence you. And that can happen without you being aware of it. Or you can choose to be aware of it and choose your peers and have positive influences that you're choosing to have.
Absolutely. You're completely right.
So you set your business up, and I know that was a few years ago. So tell us about your business a little bit now. I mean, how many clients have you got?
We have, we started in 2008, so we're nearly 10 years old now. Mm. We look after over 200 clients.
Wow.
Based around the UK, ranging from small businesses to, we're just our largest client we've just taken on turns over £7 million. You know, it's big established companies. We've got a team of 10 people now. And, you know, in our own little way, we're creating a really cool place to work.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, working with a load of cool clients.
Fantastic. Yeah. I know that you're actually running a business now, but for getting on for sort of 20 odd years, you were operating as an accountant at various, you know, levels, obviously starting the junior level right up to the most senior. Give us an idea of, you know, the typical week of an accountant.
Well, I guess the first thing to say about a typical week is there isn't one. It's very varied. I mean, there's some things that have to get done all the time. There are some consistent things. But for a lot of the time, you're reacting to things that are happening. And the thing we're really driven on is helping business owners make the decisions that they need to make to drive their businesses to where they want to get to. So right. There's a definite collaborative and partnership approach that we take with our clients. And we're seen for most of our clients as essential to their business making, to their business decisions.
So you're not just sort of, you know, putting together figures and just sending over reports. It's much more collaborative and talking to business owners about the content of that information.
Absolutely. It's helping business owners understand what their numbers mean and what the key drivers are in their business.
Mm. Is it too late for them to do anything about it if you're giving them the reports, or is it?
It used to be in the olden days, when, you know, it was server-based technology. It used to be all the stuff that accountants were delivering to clients was out of date, and it, I guess it didn't really matter what they said, because, you know, the business had moved on, decisions had been made. But we're working with online, cloud-based, real-time technology now, which is making the accounting area pretty exciting.
So that means that you're using systems to do a lot of sort of the number crunching that traditionally would have been done manually.
Yeah, the processing bit is done by the technology, and that's only going to increase over time. So an accountant needs to be able to interpret numbers and turn those numbers into decisions or options or solutions to problems.
And I suppose, you know, a lot of business owners would not necessarily be totally, have total grasp of the figures. They may be great salespeople or networkers, or they may be, you know, excellent in their own sort of technical field. So to what degree are you sort of educating these business owners as well?
You're right. The business owners generally, what they do is something that they love. And to do the accountancy bit is something that comes along with having a business. So to a large extent, most of them are not that numerate. I mean, they're generally very bright people. Mm. So they can pick up the concepts. But the more complicated things and understanding the implications of everything, they don't generally know. So they need someone there to help guide them through their journey. Mm. And that's what we do.
Fantastic. And you were saying that you often become a sort of a right-hand person for business owners or your clients.
Yes. And you'll know this yourself, being a business owner, that, you know, you need someone, you know, by your side that's kind of, they're protecting you, they're covering your back all the time. And business owners generally want to move quickly and make quick decisions. And they need someone there that can basically just check everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, and every, you know, not every, but a large proportion of large company CEOs, board members, will have an accounting background.
Right.
Not necessarily a qualification, but they've gone a certain way down that route. But if you look at, you know, if you pick up the board report for any FTSE 100 company, there'll be a number of accountants on the board.
So that's interesting, actually, because you were saying about where it can lead to. And obviously you were talking about, you know, people can work in a practice, or they can work in-house for larger companies as a qualified accountant, or set their own business up as you have. But indeed, you know, there's all these opportunities in big FTSE companies. If you want to climb the top of the corporate world, Being an accountant can really help.
Absolutely. I said to you before, there's no boundaries for accountants. So an English accountancy qualification will take you anywhere in the world. Every industry needs an accountant. Every company within every industry needs an accountant. Mm. So, you know, you take somewhere, you know, imagine you're passionate about Formula One. Every single part of Formula One, every single industry within that, the people that make the tyres, the people that run the teams, every single one of those bits of the chain are going to need an accountant. Yeah. So you can go and just find someone in the chain, and then, you know, before you know it, you're at Monaco.
Yeah. Just talking about the attributes to be successful in your profession, what things do you think that sort of people need if they're thinking about becoming an accountant?
There's a definite, well, maybe love's a strong word, but there's a definite, you know, liking of numbers. If you have an interest in numbers and how they work and how they fit together, there's a definite part of that. There's an elegance to accounting. In my mind, maybe not in everyone's mind, but in my mind, there's an elegance to it. Everything has to go somewhere. You know, it's neat and tidy, and everything's put in its right place. Mm. Kind of organised and detailed, and a need to get things finished.
Yeah. So these are sort of almost innate attributes, really, aren't they? You know, you either got them or you haven't. Yep. But what about things like energy and the ability to work long hours and things like that? I mean, accountants work quite long hours, don't they?
Some of them can. Again, it depends what industry you get into. But I think whatever job you choose to do, whatever path you take, energy is going to be crucial. No one's going to be that happy with anyone that just sits in the corner with no energy. But you do need to be, you know, disciplined and focused and being able to stick at something for a long period of time.
Mm. I mean, typically, what hours did you work when you were, you know, doing your sort of standard accountancy role?
You know, you have a 9-to-5 job. Generally, is what your contract is. But generally, the expectation is that you're going to get in a little bit earlier and you're going to go home a little bit later. So,
yeah. And did you used to work
6:30?
Right. And did you used to work at weekends and things as well? Or?
Not generally, but every once in a while, there's you know, there's a reason that everyone has to come together and get stuck in and do some work. So yeah. I'd work the odd weekend.
And what do you think is the you know, the biggest sort of challenge or the worst things about the role? Because I always like to let people know, you know, the good and the bad.
For me, it's, you can tell from my history, it's opened up so many opportunities for me. I mean, it's a decision that I would not go back and change. Right. I mean, I'm definitely glad that I went and did that.
And I have to, can I just point out that you're sitting here, you know, very relaxed and casual, open neck shirt, jeans, very smart, but, you know, you're not this traditional suited and booted accountant.
No, we're not.
Would it be more like that if you weren't the business owner still?
Definitely. I mean, if you go to my office down in Epsom in Surrey now, the guys in there, guys and ladies, you know, they're not dressed up in suits. They're kind of in relaxed attire. Our clients come and visit us in relaxed attire. Yeah. There is this old-fashioned perception of an accountant who's, you know, got a grey, dusty suit and works in a dark room and, you know, uses a green pen. And it's changing, and the technology is taking us away from that, which is a good thing.
Right, so for those individuals who are now inspired and want to follow in your footsteps, Andy, maybe, you know, they've just completed their GCSEs or about to do them, thinking about A-levels, or maybe they've done their A-levels and thinking about what degree, you know, what would be your recommendation for next steps?
The degree option is one way of going, and it doesn't really matter which degree you go to. A friend of mine did a geography degree and ended up at PricewaterhouseCoopers. So again, with all things, go and do something that you enjoy and something that you're good at.
So you could go and do an English degree or something like that.
Correct,
then?
Yeah. Right, philosophy, okay. Degree or whatever you want. But if you don't want to go to university, you want to get cracking, then you can go straight into industry and do an AAT qualification, which is a foundation level.
You can do that via an apprenticeship, can't you?
Correct, yeah.
If you go and do an ordinary degree, then you have to sort of do your accountancy qualifications after. But if you decide that you're not going to do a degree and start the AAT route, you would do that first as a foundation, then you would do your accountancy qualifications.
Correct, yeah.
I'm with you, yeah. And then, so what other tips would you give?
Get some experience, definitely, because then you're going to find out if you enjoy it. Go and find a firm, offer them your services for a couple of weeks for free, just offering an exchange of your time, effort and energy, you know, in return for, you know, some experience. I mean, you'll often find companies have projects that they never really get round to because they're busy. Mm. And if they get someone come in, say, you know, I've got 2 weeks, you know, they'll say, oh, great, we can get that thing done. Mm. And you just get some time in working in an office environment, interacting with people, learning some things about how business works, and that would be invaluable.
And I think that companies very often, it's refreshing when you hear from somebody who doesn't just say, can I come and do some work experience, but who actually says, I want to be a, in this case, an accountant,
yep.
and I'm looking to get some experience in your firm because of that, because yep. it's going to help me, you know, my next move. And I think that companies are much more inclined to take somebody on to give them some work experience in that case than if it's general. I don't know what you think.
Definitely, yeah. If you can make the decision easy for them. I mean, everyone's in companies, everyone's busy, everyone's trying to get things done. And if you can make it easy for them, say, look, I can come and take some of this weight off your shoulders, and I'm really specific about what I want to do and why I want to do it and why you're attracted to their company. And a little bit of flattery never hurts.
And you were saying that you personally have taken on a number of individuals. I think you said three that didn't have degrees, one an apprentice. You've taken on a few people for internships and things as well?
Correct. For me, I mean, I would rather take someone on that hasn't been taught by somebody else. I'd rather take someone on at a younger age and teach them myself.
So there are lots of opportunities. And we don't know off the top of our head the total number of companies in the UK. Perhaps I ought to find that out.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that every single company in the UK and in the world, actually, needs to have a grasp of their numbers.
Correct.
So they will need some sort of finance function. So as an accountant, you're always going to be busy.
Always going to be busy. And you can just go wherever you want in the world, whichever industry you want to go into. The world is your oyster.
Okay, Andy, thank you so much. That's really helpful. If anybody has got any final questions or questions after this, is there anywhere general that they could contact you?
Yes, of course. I mean, my email is andy@loveyouraccountants.com. Happy to help anyone that wants to go down this journey.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.